You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at wearelibertarians.com.
All right, let's get back to some boring subjects.
Understand the risk to our country.
Freedom brings people together.
You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com.
Welcome to the Chris Spangle Show. This is the pool party edition. We've got a fun show for you. We've got all of our hosts here, except Caleb Franz, as I refer to him.
Dakota's not here.
And Dakota's not here, which really threw off everything, because we had to take photos with Dakota's head for the group shots. But basically, we've had a photo shoot, because headshots are expensive, and so the network put that together. Thank you, patrons, and thank you to Tyler and Kate Herget for putting that together. If you need a videographer in the Indianapolis area, hit me up and I will give you their information. They're great folks and they do such a great job at the pat down. But we have everybody in town. Absolutely incredible. So
I love you all, but you're insane for coming to Newcastle, Indiana. This is Dale showed up at my barber shop. Somebody said, I'm going to a pool party at Jeremiah's house. 10 minutes later, I get a text from a friend who says, some dude from Iowa says he's coming to your house for a pool party. What is happening? I said, I cannot try to explain it. This is impossible.
Well, Julia from Liberty Explained said that this is a beautiful place. So the smog from New Jersey has clearly affected her brain cells. But we'll get her perspective on Newcastle later.
I love Henry County. I think it's great. But of all the map dots for everybody to show up at, I don't know how we accomplish this, but they're here.
It means a lot, and I'm probably going to cry. go ahead, Harry.
I'm just like, yeah, it's interesting to see how big the network has grown and how to get everyone out in the same spot. I never thought it was going to happen, and here it is.
We've tried for years.
Yeah. Walcon 2021, post-pandemic edition.
Yeah, we can do a hybrid event, you know.
So basically what we want to do is just introduce you to everybody. It's a great starting point with everybody here in person, having a conversation, having a fun time. Just did our photo shoot. Now we're doing a podcast, and then we're going to go have fun at the pool party. I brought 6 bottles of Aldi wine, thanks to my fiance, Reagan.
You are going to get lit, Spangle.
Remzo specifically requested the Aldi wine.
Remzo has good taste. Did you keep your Aldi quarter?
Aldi wine too. No, big spenders. You know, pass it forward like Starbucks. Mm. And I've got more wieners in my cooler than Jeffrey Dahmer. I've never bought so many hot dogs in my life. I was like a crackhead over there pulling buns off the shelf. I'm like, just one more.
If we're making 90s references, is it Jeffrey Dahmer or is it the lady who cut off her husband?
Lorena Bobbitt.
Yeah, Lorena Bobbitt. That's where you insert your Lorena Bobbitt joke.
Maybe we should do like, you know.
You can fix that in post. Make the joke again. Go ahead.
Well, it's more realistic to say if you got Joey Chestnut out in the car.
Right. Yeah. I bought like two shy of his number. So if you're new to We Are Libertarians, this was founded in 2012 by myself and Chris Galt, who unfortunately may or may not be here. And Creighton Harrington started the show in 2012 as a way to reach out to college libertarians in the state of Indiana when I was executive director of the Libertarian Party of Indiana. And I really missed radio. I'd started doing radio in 2004 and left in 2008 and took out a second loan on my car to buy my first set of podcast equipment, which shows you where, A, I was financially and, B, why I was there. started the podcast and it has grown. We now have 13 shows. We've had 100 different co-hosts 100 different co-hosts easily.
Some of us just don't quit, do we?
No. 24, 25 different shows, a magazine. It's the longest running libertarian podcast that I can find other than Free Talk Live, if you call it. They're more of a radio show. And definitely the only libertarian network that's out there. But we've got everybody here, and so we're going by seniority, which, Harry, I would think that you would be the most senior of our co-hosts now, right?
Yes, yeah. Honestly, I think it is now me.
How did we meet?
Honestly, like the first time, like, well, face to face, or
downtown,
like how I found
Indianapolis bus station, right?
Yes, I was blowing him.
I think the first time we physically like met face to face was that YAL conference.
Yes, and I was racist from the beginning. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, super racist from the beginning. We met, we talked, and then Spangle did his best to make sure I was in every photo, like in the background.
We got one.
And I was, and yeah, I was the lone black guy in the sea of white people. Just every photo was this way. It was just like, look at this. This is.
It's true.
Yeah.
Harry had no idea how popular he was.
Oh, yeah, but you. I think you randomly messaged me and said you had a podcast, and you were one of the few anarchists that I had met at that point. I was like, love for you to come on and talk about it, or you refresh my memory.
Yeah, because I wanted to come on and talk about it because like the show was also going through a thing because the Galt and Clayton incident happened, and then that thing was
around episode 36 when Galt tried to punch Creighton, and then Creighton or Galt said it's me or him, and I said, "Well, see you later, Galt." And that was the first podcast he was fired from.
And then I had my own podcast. I was on Indiana Talks. We were the larger, more righty show on the network. It was being even Rod Kendall at that time.
Yeah. Will be here tonight, by the way.
Oh, Kickback Kendall's coming down.
Kickback Kendall's going to be here.
And, you know, our network decided, like, hey, you know what? We should branch out to the other podcasts that are on the network. So we decided to reach out to Wall because I met Chris and I've watched their content on YouTube. I enjoy their content.
Yeah.
So I decided to reach out and
no longer enjoys it, but at the time,
their content, as if it was a massive network at that time, right. Harry.
It was basically me doing a show every other week, maybe, if I wasn't in depression from my divorce.
And then I got invited over and got to sit on the famous couch, the couch, and got to sit in the apartment. And
that, then he blew me. That,
yeah. The circle of life.
Yeah.
The circle of the podcast.
Hakuna Matata.
And that secured my spot.
And now you're both on your way to being happily married.
Yeah.
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 It's fine. We could, when we started, we couldn't get gay married, but now.
Yeah. I was talking about your pending nuptials, but I mean, if you want to go that direction, we've done an emergency wedding. We've never done an emergency gay wedding in this studio.
I've slept with everyone in this room, here. And I'm very aroused right now, okay? All right.
It's sometimes cheaper than LLC, though.
So Harry and his podcast host got in a fight, and I think you reached out to see if I wanted equipment, or we were just touching base, and I said, well, come on the podcast. And you've now, I think, co-hosted more podcasts than maybe even Greg at this point.
I think I'm really close, yeah.
Greg was like 250, and when I counted last 2 years ago, you were at 80, so I guarantee you've probably co-hosted more than anybody else.
Well, because like originally just started because you were looking to increase doing the amount of shows because you were doing like the Tuesday, Thursday show.
That's right.
You know,
yeah.
How long it was going to be. I was like, you know what? I can do Tuesday, you know?
Yeah.
To give give Greg a break, and then just like also because you also at that time was trying to build out like a bigger bench,
yeah.
You know, and I was like, yeah, I can do a couple of Tuesdays. I'll do it once in a while, maybe once a month. It'd be fine, you know. And here I am.
Yeah, and then came Boss Hog of Liberty. I've known Jeremiah. Jeremiah, you are the one person, not from my family, that will be at both weddings.
Wow.
So that's how fast friendships turn over at the old Spangle House. And it shows you how different life can be in a decade.
I was in like the 37th row last time. So I'm hoping I'm hoping to move up to like row 32
well,
this time.
Well, Reagan has like 10 bridesmaids, so you both made it. And if you think I'm kidding, Yana, her sister's running the board for us, and she can vouch. But you and I met. I was executive director. Your parents got involved with the Rush County Libertarian Party of India, the Rush County Libertarian Party.
Yep.
And they were trying to get you to leave the Republican Party and join, and you were very reluctant.
Oh, God. Yeah. I was a fair Republican. And, you know.
But when did you give up and just become a libertarian?
2010, 2009, 2010, somewhere in that range. Somewhere in that range, I was, I made the jump, got involved with some local campaigns, and. Oh, one step leads to two steps, leads to three steps, and the next thing you know, you've got a libertarian podcast in East Central Indiana, and you've run a governor's campaign, and you've lost three elections yourself, and
yeah.
You know, it's just, it's a typical story.
What I love about the Boss Hog of Liberty is two things, and I mentioned you, I'm doing podcast consulting now, and the show that aired last week was an interview with Carmel, and I mentioned you whenever I am asked about podcasting and the power of podcasting, I bring up the Boss Hog of Liberty. Because you guys have become the media in Newcastle, Indiana, and Henry County, because what the hell is here other than a podcast?
We are a long-form conversation show that deals with local issues, national issues, but we always look at it through a lens of liberty. And we've had everybody on from economists to comedians, and we are the place, we're the talk show that everybody running for local office comes through this building.
Yeah.
So,
and your reach, the person who runs the Carmel podcast was like, tell the story about the doughboy. You know, and it's interesting to see a show that reaches, you know, your reach on Facebook and on your podcast feed. It's not just those numbers. It's really like conversational, where the guy at the barbershop is messaging you about some weirdo that is talking about a pool party that he's attending. We'll get to you, Dale.
Yeah. And that was a great time for Dale to explain his odyssey through town, honestly, to break in and hear his...
Everything with Dale is an ODD odyssey.
I will bring this up, though. Like, see, the first mentioning like I've ever heard of like Jer was the weird stories of you from Chris when I would show up. Oh, this guy did, you know, was a pizza thing, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, Jeremiah invites me out to pizza, and I literally say to him, because he's forces friendship on people. The second thing I love about Boss Hog...
I'm sorry you have extrovert friends.
I know. The second thing I love about Boss Hog of Liberty is the name, because it was a troll, because I thought, surely this will go nowhere.
I am stuck with it forever.
And
like, it's going to be in my obituary. I have no choice at this
point. You have paid to print the name on it.
Yeah, this is nice.
No, we have patrons, and I have to thank them very much. What? They are. This podcast is my golf game. I'm not a good golfer. The patrons pay for it. I show up, I put my reps in, and we have a great time with it. But we are in a building because we have an incredible Patreon network of folks that believe in the show and care about the success of it. Both
You're
the
welcome.
Wall network and the BHL
side. We'll talk to you in just a moment, but the voice of the patron here. But Jeremiah is, it drives, and this is a compliment, drives people crazy with his friendship and hospitality and his ability to organize friends, hence the pool party, the building that we're here, you know, and the last vestiges of the old We
of
Are
fun.
Libertarians podcast,
of
the fun show, yeah. Are alive and well on the Boss Hog of Liberty. And it's just because you were bossy and you forced friendship on people that I gave you the name Boss Hog of Liberty and drew up a little... I'm apparently not allowed to use this artwork anymore of you in the white suit with the white hat.
We've been around since 2017 and the world has changed.
It
over
has?
214 episodes. So we have some fantastic artwork. I took a vacation. Dakota is not here. We shouldn't talk about Boss Hog without Dakota and without Jesse and others.
Well, if he were actually dedicated to this network, he would have been here.
He's off with his third job trying to sell cups at the farm with his wife. It's, you know, podcasts are not as profitable as some might think.
No shit.
But yeah, now we've got the awesome Boss Hog logo that Dakota took upon himself. I think in 2018 we got the new logo, and we moved away. We kept the name, but we moved away from the southern
Dukes of Hazzard
imagery that you connected us with.
Your mom hates it so much.
My mom hates everything.
Well, four stars.
Yeah, my own mother gave us show 4 stars. She's like, it's not that good.
Everybody she else, really did.
Yes. Yes. That's
better than what my mom would. At least your mom's listened.
It's like the Dave Portnoy. Nobody can get a 10 on pizza.
Dad literally 2 years ago, listen to my first podcast. Have you heard the Dale Jr. download? Make half my income from this stupid shit. So we would be remiss if we didn't thank the patrons at this point. And. We invited all of the $100 monthly contributors, and everybody couldn't make it. Funding a network, having this many people, having the mics, the equipment, the hosting, the services that go into distributing things, the advertisements that we do, just the quality, you know, just. The amount of I've spent on logos this year for new podcasts that we're launching is more than a month's worth of the patronage. It all goes to just make everybody, you know, everybody. Why are you getting out?
Did you go to the casino?
If you think I'm not coming down that shirt to get that much money, you're goddamn wrong.
Too bad this isn't on video.
It will be. Hang on.
So, but the wall patrons really help, she's got $250 in her cleavage. How am I supposed to?
$350.
How am I supposed?
$300.
Well, I was told by.
Well, go get another $50, and he'll do it.
I was told by the regime that I'm not allowed to spend more than $250 without asking her.
Oh.
And I went, okay. So I'm going to do it. But
so I said, I'm giving him $300.
That's right. I'll spend it however I want, with your permission. But, you know, it takes a lot to fund a network of 13 shows, and you can ask any of our hosts. I try to make it as low impact on them as possible, use my expertise to just help them host the show, help them grow their platform. I take care of the hosting and all the back end stuff. We'll ask Brian about it because Brian's basically the most technically illiterate person in this building. It's unbelievable. He's like, all right, so is this Facebook or Twitter I'm using? I'm like, you're just posting a status. Choose one. You know, the people who really like helped, not just the co-host, but like, okay, wow, we could turn this into the thing that is in my head. First it was Phyllis Kluzinski, the Phyllis Kluzinski Studios. She sent me $400 in 2013 to spend on the podcast. And I got that check. And it was like, whoa, somebody actually believes in what I'm doing to that level. The next person was Christy Avery, who's here.
There'll be no crying. It's going to look terrible with your makeup, Chris. Stop it.
But Christy bought all the early equipment that Jeremiah sold to other people without asking me.
I repurposed it for the benefit of the network. Sometimes tough decisions have to be made, Chris.
At least it wasn't broken, right?
Not, you know, yeah, look, it went on to make other podcasts, unlike what...
You didn't throw it out on the
balcony. We're really going to make him cry.
People go...
There have been a lot of potholes on the road to Liberty.
Harry, why don't you grab the mic from Rimzo so you can weigh in here, too, on some of this earlier stuff. James Neese, of all people, told me the other day, he goes, I helped found 4chan. I went dumpster diving in Jacksonville. I have never met a weirder group of people than that this podcast has attracted. And like, this room's the normal, okay? Like, the people that we've had, Jeremiah and Harry, through the decade of this, this is the most, like, well-balanced, emotionally healthy group.
There
has
been a bit of an Island of Misfit Toys vibe in your circle.
But I fucking love it. I love interesting people, and I love people with different thoughts. Like, James Neese is one of our
dearest
now.
Friends, and we never know what's coming.
Yeah, I mean... Some of these pool parties that we've had, like the blonde stripper accidentally, or Christy getting naked and jumping off the roof.
Allegedly.
Niece showing his dick to everybody, walking up on people, having sex in cars.
None of this actually happened. These are all fictitious stories.
Well, it's not going to happen, which is why I invited Reagan's kid sister. But in the past, it was a little...
Calm your expectations, people. None of that's happening tonight.
I got a little racy at some of those events. Yeah.
I'll never forget your wife, Harry, looking at Kat Anagnos with a joint in her hand and going, do it. Do it, pussy. Smoke this fucking weed. It's still the funniest thing I've ever thought. Yeah, I've ever seen.
And to see her now walk around with a kid, like, oh, that's so sweet.
I know.
Do it, pussy.
Yana, don't go in the other garage later, okay? Go ahead.
I'm just saying, like, yeah, there's a lot of casting characters, like, especially like the first show I was on when I thought I was having a nice, awesome discussion with another libertarian, and obviously I was having an argument I didn't know I was having.
Was it with Maya?
No, but it was Gina.
Okay, Gina Martinez. Yep.
Yeah, Smegel had it and tell me like you. She's really angry. Like, what? What time? This is getting good.
What I loved about the 2013 shows was Greg was a Republican. Is a Republican.
He's a Republican.
And Gina was a Democrat, mm-hmm. and I was in the middle, and we were constantly arguing, and it was a lot of fun. But yeah, Maya took took the original board.
Yeah, the OG board.
Before I'd even finished paying it off, and threw it off a balcony because she was angry at me because, I don't know.
Nobody knows why.
After you kept helping her and reaching out and helping this person, we went above and beyond even after I said I quit from it. You kept going, but but that's part of your personality. That's part of your chart.
That's part of, I think, what's made this is that you don't give up on people. You got to kind of let people figure it out, and you got to, you know, It comes from, despite all my jokes, my Christian values. Like, you've got to give people grace. You've got to give them patience. You've got to give them second, third, fourth, fifth chances. But at some point, when you throw my fucking board off a balcony, you've got to, we're done.
Right.
But
Spangle will have you dispatched to another state.
Right. Off the balcony, cackling, laughing at it, you know, and posting it on the face tube. Like, ha-ha, look what I did. It's like, why?
Right.
Why, you hurt yourself.
Well, on the 100th anniversary episode, walked in with a loaded AR-15 and pointed at Joe Ruiz and his wife, and Mickey was like, literally shook, like, what the fuck is going on with these people?
All right, so honestly, she said she wasn't going to do that. She's just going to bust in the door with it.
Yeah, but still pointed at
it. I was in the car with her. I was behind it. I was like, yeah, you're just going to bust in the door with it. Just don't point at anybody. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah. So all those old episodes are behind the paywall for a reason that you can get if you're a wall patron. But back to Christy. Christy bought a lot of the early equipment. One of the first people to sign up at the $100 level. Jason Doolittle has been an unfailing supporter of the show as well. And Craig DaCosta did so much for us in those early days. And I appreciate every single one of our patrons and especially the people who give at the $100 a month level, because it is incredibly, it's really how we fund it. But you three specifically, for doing a retrospective on where we've come from, give it up for Christy Avery, because she's the GOAT. So why have you given and like, what is it about We Are Libertarians and all of our shows that you are our first super fan, you are our top super fan?
Christy made her own shirt at the first live event.
She was
the first person to buy my second book.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if she read it or not. Most people didn't, but she bought it.
That's Renzo.
Got the money.
Do you have the shirt? Didn't read it. So even when there was like a little bad blood between me and the state party, she like forced them to name the theme of the convention We Are Libertarians and like made them put it on the shirt. Mm-hmm. And the like there were folded arms across the room. But then she bought it for $300.
Yeah.
$350.
Yeah. T-shirt. Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us, why do you support We Are Libertarians? Why have you given so generously?
Because I'm crazy. I don't know. I just found you guys to be a super friendly and welcoming group, and I enjoy your shows.
Fucking
there's
idiot.
Just there's just the right amount of humor in it, and you know, it's wonderful.
Well,
when I like something, I really like something. If you go back to the old Chris Spangle show, you might find my episode. Is that still for free out there?
I don't know.
Where I talk about being a super fan.
Yeah, I don't think so. Where you're a Weird Al super fan, aren't you?
Weird Al super fan, yes. And doing things like this makes me very uncomfortable, but...
Well, we just want to show that we do appreciate you, and thank you so much, and you've become just one of our best friends. And
aww. Now, Chris, go get pieces. That money.
Yeah. All right.
You need to check looking.
Is there more in there?
She wants you to keep digging around in there.
All right, thank you, Christy. Next up,
you have a special guest on your right.
Yes,
here.
And the next in the seniority line is co-host of the Chris Spangle Show. It's Reinhold. Reinhold, how did we meet?
We met when Greyhound
Station
decided to run for office in 2010, I believe.
Yeah,
and you were the executive director, and
you came and visited me.
I came and said, "Hey, I'd like to run," and you were like, "Cool."
got to meet your lovely wife Heather at that time too. I've known you guys for
and actually we. You got me into podcasting with Mike Cole. We did a podcast.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the old LPIN podcast. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which was still out there for a while, but I don't know if it's still out there anywhere else.
It's archived somewhere in the Chris Spangle, like, WX. I've kept everything. Like, before I left WZPL, I stole the entire catalog. Like,
okay. Borrowed.
You protected it for them.
Like, right.
Yeah, they still have it. You borrowed it.
If you want a liner from Abdul's show in 2006, I've got it.
But when we're talking about seniority, we do have to mention the fact that I am probably the oldest person on the network.
Easily the oldest person I know.
Youngest
by a mile.
Heart.
Like
youngest
750 years old.
Something like that.
Yeah. Reinhold,
just had my birthday, too, a couple days ago.
So. We had a photo shoot, so we're trying to show everybody that we look normal. And the goal with the photo shoot is like to use this for sales material.
Mm-hmm. Reinhold shows up as a hippie.
He literally peeks his head around the door like with Christopher Lloyd from Back to the Future hair with his tie-dye hippie shirt.
This is him. It's got a... Listen, He's got a buttons and a collar. If for a libertarian, that's compliance. That's all you're going to get.
I got a suit jacket over there.
Yeah.
Well, that's part of it is that, you know, Dennis has always been the hippie of the show. He's our resident boomer. He's like left.
NX.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, whatever. Who's you want to say.
Don't start with me.
But no, I mean, we have a broad spectrum of people that come from a different point of view. And part of our goal here is to model respect for each other. And trust me, we fight, Harry.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Contract negotiations, you know, they just get heated.
I don't feel like you and I have ever fought. I know I'm certainly disappointed.
Wait a minute.
You,
Harry has a contract?
Yeah, I get. I've got a contract. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
You should get one. They're great, you know. Yeah. And that's the reason why we don't fight as much, because it's, you know, you put it down in paper, okay, you know.
He's an anarchist. You have to voluntarily contract with him if you want to say hi. it'll be what a great world we'll have where everybody's contracting.
If you ever come over to my house, when the first thing you do is pay your admission fee to get inside the house, then sign your NDA.
You sign a small waiver.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Sign a waiver, pay your admission fee, and then sign the NDA, and you're fine. You're good to go.
So... I don't know. When did I first have you on? I don't even remember how you got involved in We Are Libertarians, to be honest.
Yeah. So, I was listening to the podcast a little bit for a while, off and on. I was going through some things that, took a lot of time away. So I wasn't able to be involved or anything like that. But then I started, paying attention a little bit more and then found out you guys had a Discord and thought, oh, that sounds like fun. I do Discord too. So I'm going to jump on here. So I got on the Discord, which was, really run by Harry for the most part. I don't think you ever logged into it hardly at all, except to hunt ducks.
I check in, yeah.
So I got on there and then started talking around to Harry, and Harry started to think about doing Low Key Wall again. So he started up a couple shows, and I jumped in, and we had, I think our second show we did was 4.5 hours long.
Which is still, I think, the record.
Yeah. And we had to force ourselves to stop. We were just going to keep going.
We had an election night show that was 6 hours, but that doesn't count. But we're known for our lengthy podcast, as Joe Hauptman so diplomatically pointed out when I saw him at Carmel Fest. Jesus, your podcasts are long. Don't ever ask me on unless I get a pee break.
We have no discipline on our show. Dakota will get up and leave 3 times an episode to go do whatever he wants to do.
It's harder when you get older. Reinhold will tell you that.
Well, that's one of the reasons he likes me on the show is that He knows I'll talk for a while, so he can get up and go take
take care of business. I'll get in the chat and I'll be like, "Harry, you're next. Reinhold, carry this for a minute. I have to go at every episode at least." So
I was on the Low Key Wall, and then you were talking to Harry one day, and you said, "Hey, just bring him on. Let's get him on the show." So I came on for a couple of guest spots here and there over the course of a couple months, and then just started becoming more regular to it. And
what's funny is you're unlike Maya, where Maya intentionally inflamed people. You just piss people off by existing.
Yeah. It's just my effervescence.
I don't know what, cause like I always have fought against you. I fought against you and fought against you. And then like, eventually you're right about a lot of stuff. So eventually I was like, let's have Reinhold on more. Cause he does know a lot of stuff, even if I don't always agree, but, really,
we used to have famous, back and forth on chats for hours. We do like 2 or 3 hours arguing back and forth on chat and go, why are we doing this? Why aren't we doing this in recording? Why are we wasting it?
And that's you get into it with our next guest, Brian Nichols.
From time to time.
Hi.
My distant cousin.
We pretend at least.
Yeah.
Jim Nichols.
If you guys don't know, Jeremiah and Brian are related.
Sure.
Because they're both from Northern New York, where are you originally from?
Yeah, upstate New York, so Northern New York. Jeremiah, you're from Messina, right?
I'm from Messina. You're from Augsburg area.
Yeah.
So we're both from St. Lawrence County, New York. And my great-grandmother was Gladys Nichols, spelled exactly the same way. So
now, we can't tie it at all.
We've not figured it out yet, but I am completely convinced
it has to be
4 or 5 generations back. We are definitely kin.
The branches intertwine a little too hard? Is that what?
I don't know. I mean, the guy lives in Philadelphia and I'm in Indiana, so they're not that tight.
I was going to say, yeah.
It's a miracle we found each other. It's another wall miracle.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like where I grew up at. We have like the Steerwald family. There's like 24 different families, but they're all somewhere related 3 generations back and cousins and everything.
You two.
So at this time, I need to get some of Brian's spit and we're going to mail it away, and we're going to work this out. Thank you, patrons. You're going to pay for it.
Well, it's just like all those other like spangles out there. We all know they're all related. All
to you don't have to have sex to procreate. You just clone yourself like I've done, and it works out. There's one guy that walked in. I was at Miss Pat's show last night. This guy was walking in the door. He was just a big fat white dude with ginger beard and glasses. And I instantly was like, all right. Hey, Miss Pat, this is my brother, Eric. No shit. You went to school with Nike. How you doing? How you doing? And I went, ah. Everybody bought it. Hook, line, and sinker. Now there's a guy on TikTok, Chris Spang One, who looks like me too. Mm-hmm. And this major Instagram influencer with 150,000 likes shared the TikTok and said, man, Chris Spangle for the pat down kills me. I just wrote, bitch, that's not me. And she goes, I am so sorry. I thought it was you.
It never ends.
But you know what I love about We Are Libertarians is that we have a lot of smart, driven people. Brian is one of our most driven people. He's created his own little world of producers and people that are helping him with his show. We'll get to all that in just one moment, but like you two more than anybody probably go or have gone at each other. I think you've both kind of realized like it's just why let's not fight. Like Dennis and the other Brian, we always just call it the fights of the Brian with Reinhold here. But at the end of the day, the point Brian and Dennis is that you get together in the same room. We're all friends. You can have strong opinions. You can come at it from the right or the left or different perspectives, you know, and still get along.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're all family at the end of the day, and good people bring out the good in people.
Yeah.
So I think what you've done here is you've built up a network of good people. I would dare say great people.
Yeah.
And with that, despite the disagreements, despite where we will have our times, we'll quarrel. We still love each other.
Yeah.
And what do families do? They fight.
Absolutely.
But that's how we get stronger. That's how we get better. It's always in good fun. It's how we get better. And I think that's the main goal of what we're trying to do here is reach more people, change more people's hearts and minds.
Yeah. Do you want to disagree, Dennis?
Well, look, here's where you're wrong.
I was waiting for it. So
if you go back to 1826.
Come on.
Thank you, Dennis. I'm going to have Trisha sit in that chair next because she's next on the seniority list. But how did you get involved with the network, Brian?
You gave me a shot. Honestly.
You had a podcast that I thought was good, but it was only on YouTube. And I'm like,
sucked.
If you don't have
so bad.
If you don't have your podcast on Apple, you don't have a podcast. I was so shocked that you had there was a lot of talent there. But the tech side was just like. It was just on YouTube, and I was like, what is happening here? So you really were
his
first...
podcast was one step above a fax machine, is what you're saying.
Basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, but here's the thing. Like, Brian was an important step in the network because you I gave a show to because you wanted to do a podcast and you're my friend. And all the shows up to that point had been, I've kind of got an idea. I want to do Storytime with Gina, or Maya and I did Creating Maya, which was one of the very first podcast about transitioning from male to female or at all and her experiences. So everybody at that point had kind of been a co-host that wanted to do their show. It was like, yeah, okay, here. But Brian was the first person that I kind of was like, all
right. Outside recruited talent.
Yeah, right. And
6'3" from the University of Notre
Dame. Come on.
Brian,
I fought every inch of that extra inch.
Come on. It's so cute. Hand the mic to Remzo, but You're really busy and you don't follow the chats and I hadn't heard from you, so I thought I had told you about the photo shoot. And yesterday you're like, what photo shoot? And I'm like, are you shitting me? I've sent pigeons to everybody.
Spangle had a nuclear meltdown.
I wasn't nuclear
meltdown. Oh, no. He was petty Spangle. It was fun.
No. So I go
twice on the show.
He canceled everything. No. He canceled everything. We were sending food back.
I know you're going to eat at least 8 hamburgers, Brian.
It's getting heavy.
P-fi-fo-fum. But, you know, Remzo is probably the most generous of us all and said, no worries, I brought an extra coat. You can wear it.
I didn't bring an extra coat.
Right.
I also forgot my license.
Right. So
that was a lot of things.
A foot taller than you.
Yeah, you see, sometimes you just got to trust your gut. When that fails, you go on Google, and I realize this ain't going to happen.
Because you're like a suit what size?
I mean, like a 48, 50, somewhere in there. Yeah.
Brian 22. And I are standing next to each other. I just looked at him earlier, and I'm just like, you are one tall mofo.
I privately messaged Brian. I'm like, I'm fucking howling. Because Renzo doesn't know how tall you are. He's being nice, but he doesn't. He's gonna laugh tomorrow. But yeah,
we made it work.
Yeah,
we
You came on the network, and you've done a brilliant job. You're the second in downloads, and you have just built like a great reputation for yourself over the last 4 years. We're all very proud of you. Tell us what the Brian Nichols Show is, what you do, and how it's evolved.
Yeah, so the show. I didn't know what I was doing when I started out. I just wanted to talk about politics because I cared about politics. I wanted to use the podcasting medium, but I didn't have the know-how.
Right.
And to your point earlier,
yeah.
I'm stupid when it comes to tech stuff. So I deferred to you quite a bit to build up that kind of infrastructure. Yeah. And because you already had it built up, it made it pretty easy. So we ended up, you gave me a shot in January 2018. Ended up doing once a week. We were doing what? It was like interviews with random friends that I had about topical issues.
Or it evolves into the same, you know, libertarians talking to libertarians type thing.
Exactly. And then I would say my first like big boy interview was with Dean Clancy. He was the former VP of FreedomWorks. And then he was, I think, is Reagan and Bush's VP of public policy or health policies, one of the two. But I had him on the show, and I realized that the interviewing medium could be used more focused on solutions.
Yeah.
So I started to hear that there were problems that we could start to fix. But I didn't really put the two and two together in terms of where I ended up bringing the show.
Right.
So for about 2.5, 3 years or so, that was pretty much the show. It was once a week, me having conversations with noted people, whether they were C-level executives, economists, noted libertarians, politicians. And it got to, June or so of 2020, and I kind of was like, where am I going with this?
Yeah, I think you have to replicate what other people do in the beginning to find your voice.
Right, and I realized that what I was doing was more so what I was hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized what I wanted to do was find an area where we were not doing well,
right,
and try to bring something different to the table. So one of the areas that I realized that we'd just been wholeheartedly ineffective was communicating our ideas to the average person.
Right.
So I lead a sales team in the greater telecommunications industry over in the East Coast, and we focus on bringing the ideas of solutions-based selling to the customer every single day. And I said, why aren't we really focusing on doing this approach but through the Liberty world and really meeting people where they're at on the issues that they see around them? So we would have, you know, some people who were out there doing the good work, but their voices weren't being elevated. So I made it an approach going 4 days a week from the once a week. So we do a Sunday candidate highlight series. And this is the overall way we change the show.
Yeah, he does more shows than like half of us combined. I mean, I don't know how you do it.
Merely, he doesn't sleep, Chris. He doesn't sleep.
It would wear me out.
Merely doing a weekly show is a grind.
It's just exhausting.
For a week is insanity with a full-time job.
So we're doing Sunday candidate highlight series.
Yeah.
So we're interviewing either candidates who are running for office or candidates who have won elected office as Big L libertarians or liberty-oriented candidates. Then Monday and every Monday we'll do a sales or a marketing episode talking about how to bring professionalism from a sales and marketing standpoint to the greater Liberty world. And on Wednesdays and Fridays, it's going to be either a conversation with a noted expert in their field.
Mm-hmm.
So
I thought you hate experts.
It depends on the expert, right? It has to be the information that only I agree with. So we'll have economists, C-level executives, business professionals.
Yeah.
And then the other interview is usually something cause-oriented approach or an outreach approach. So either A, reaching out to folks like Gen Z, business owners, entrepreneurs. I would say looking at sales professionals also has been an approach of people I want to reach out more to. And we've talked about that off air.
Yeah.
And then just really trying to make sure that we're covering all the boxes of where we haven't been having success.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what we did back in August of 2020, a complete 180. And then from that point and now going on almost a year, we've gone from what was, I think, a pretty much standard run-of-the-mill libertarian podcast to one of, I dare say, the more leading voices to help talk about how to present these ideas to your normal person. So
yeah.
I know that wouldn't be entirely possible without you. you know, you, I know you got a little emotional when you're talking about Lois giving you that $400 check. Like, hearing you talk about that is exactly how I feel when I think back to, I was sitting in my car with my wife, who's here, and came out to Indiana with us for this event. And I remember, like, thinking, like, I'm going to call it the Brian Nichols Show or the Brian Nichols Program. You remember this conversation? We were chatting about this.
No.
You don't at all? Okay, great. Well, I want you to know this is a very important moment for me.
And he has no idea. But what's your name, Brian? What?
But and you, this you were was like, when you already had the Jason Chris. Stapleton program, Brian.
Yeah.
Like, be the Brian Nichols Show. It's okay.
Right.
And be your own thing. And I was like, okay. And like, that meant so much.
I do remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. And you, like, you letting me know that you actually believed in what we were going to do for this. And
he wouldn't let me use my name.
What?
No.
Come on, man.
Too German. The Kaiser lost.
Jeremiah Morosho. It's a mouthful. No, but no, it I can't thank you enough. Yeah. So thank you for all that.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, you do a great job. And I think I speak for everybody in the room that the output, the amount of work that you put into it is impressive. And all of us are exhausted just thinking about so you really have to thank a lot of the people that you work with. I mean, how do you pull off?
So I have an entire team behind the scenes. So to start out, number one, I can't thank her enough, my wife. I mean, she just keeps the schedule, keeps my brain going. And yes, nothing to do with her being here today. But number two, I would say my entire team behind the scenes. So I have an audio guy, Bill, out in Oregon. He does all my audio for all my episodes. His daughter just got married this weekend. And he's like, hey, Brian, I just want to give you a shout. And I was like, well, I'm actually going to be heading out to Indiana to visit all the We Are Libertarians folks. He's like, do you want me to send the audio? He's like, send them all over. And he had him done like half an hour for the entire like time I'm out here. So he's amazing. Obviously, Chris Goizetta, who's my marketing guru and also my co-host for the marketing show. He's been absolutely phenomenal and become a very dear friend. Jeremy Todd, also from a sales perspective, co-hosting the show. And then I have, oh my goodness, Francine Abel. I have Chris Long. I have, oh my goodness, so many people. I'm trying to make sure I don't forget anybody because the list just keeps on growing at this point. But I, Hunter Wynn, he does graphic design for us. So I would say beyond that, though, it was also a realization I had to have because that also happened in August, too, of last year, where I realized I couldn't do it alone.
Yeah.
It's actually, you had said something to me at one point that kind of struck me. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you did it on purpose, but you were like, yeah, you kind of like you're a lone wolf and you do your own thing. And I was like, shit, I am kind of a lone wolf and I do my own thing. And
that's not bad. If you want to get to a different level, you have to find people to work with.
If you want to scale up at all,
You have to have producers like Boss Hogg. You have to have people working with you. And and that's part of the beauty. And through that process, you end up where people are willing to fly in to meet each other and have fun. You know what I mean? And that's
I can't believe Brian didn't bring the rest of his team. That's kind of a jerk.
Right. I mean, honestly, what a shit.
Invite was there.
What a shit boss.
Oh, yeah.
What are you, Ed Truck?
Listen, I invited.
What are you, Ed Truck?
I invited
whole thing.
I invited Chase Payton and Cade Coger and Danny Morrill. They all chose not to come,
right?
But maybe we'll see Zach Burcham. Maybe we'll see Dakota tonight. So, and of course, Jesse Riddle's here. So, I had to work all my people in because Brian made me feel like an asshole. So I had to thank my folks.
Yeah, this nobody does any of this. Maybe you'll make a little money on
and Chris Staten.
You know, thank you.
Rest in Daleville.
Stephen Kent and his advertisement were as a network selling the whole show. Like, it's the first time any of us have made a little money, which most of us are just kind of putting back into what we're doing or whatever, right? Like, but you don't do it for money. Like, the community that has been built, not just from the people in this room and the dozen or 30 people that are going to be there when we get to Jeremiah's house, the online communities. The multiple online communities, you know, the community that Jeremiah's built or that Brian's built, the activity of building a community where you can work on a shared project, I think is so much fun. So we're all very proud of you. Great work.
Thank you.
Make sure to tell people where they can find the show.
Sure. BrianNicholsShow.com.
The answer was WeAreLibertarians.com. Thank you, Brian,
for
coming by.
Hey, Chris. In all seriousness.
Lone wolf over here.
Thank you, though, for everything. BrianNicholsShow.com. And then the We Are Libertarians Network, though, I'll let my part end with this. I'm seeing you guys as a network from where you started to where we are now. It's like night and day.
Yeah.
And that speaks to, I think, the growth that we've had, not only as a network, but all of us as individuals.
Yeah.
To hear... And it's funny, I was driving my wife and we were talking about this in the car. I was like, I know all of you guys, but I've never met you in person.
Right. I've never met Brian in person.
Brian, did you? You didn't make her listen to 12 hours of Wall on the drive.
Oh God,
over
no!
Here.
I love my wife. Yeah, I would never do that.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, 6, 7 people in this room I've never met, but we talk every single day and have for a half a decade.
Yeah,
you know. I mean, it's the community that you can build is great, and when you find a group of people like this, we push each other. You know, and that is why we're growing exponentially, because if you are, you know, a lone wolf podcaster, just, you know, like starting out or whatever, find some other people to do it with. Because if you're just doing your own show, it feels lonely, it gets hard, gets expensive, you know, and you're not going to go as far as I think We Are Libertarians and all our shows have gone, because we find really smart people to push each other, you know? I mean, I think that's been a big part of the success. So thank you, Brian. Appreciate it. Rimzo, you're up next in seniority, but first we're going to talk to the lovely Trisha Stewart Mann.
Hello.
Who has, I don't know if I've told you this, but I'll do for you what Brian just did for me, which you over the last, like, we wouldn't be the We Are Libertarians podcast network if it weren't for Trisha. Because Trisha is out there in the world of liberty and actually talks to libertarians, where I avoid it like the plague. And she's like, no, like, we're respected. You're respected. People like this. And you really need to, like, think about the fact that other people want to join the network and they want to be a part of it. And so that led me to changing the name of my show, which the next step was then to make it a network. And I think that's been great for all of us. It's going to be, you know, a huge part of our success. But that was a very encouraging conversation that we had. And Trisha is, you know, every podcast network needs a strong woman standing behind them. That is our Trisha.
Yay!
We all love Trisha.
Thank you.
But tell us about Gingerarchy. How did you get involved in the We Are Libertarians? Did I have you on a show, or did I just say, like, hey, do your podcast? Or
where
or
did
was,
he find you?
Or was
thing,
it was
girl, do your thing.
It was a tech. You're kind of like Brian, where you were like, I need tech help.
Well, I think. Well, I had known you from like social media and stuff, and I think this was just around the time that that big censorship happened, and
yeah.
I was getting a group of libertarians together that either had podcasts, ran large pages, things like that, just to try to make some kind of, you know, coalition. And I remember sending you a message saying, listen, I know you have a larger network, and I had actually not, I think I'd listened to one show, and they were talking about big penises at a pool party, which must have obviously been.
I thought this is a liberal. No shrinkage in Henry County.
It was that, something like that. Yes. That was the only episode I had heard up to that point. Obviously, I've gone back in the archives. But I said, would you like to join the group? And you're like, I'm always willing to, you know, make Liberty Coalition. And I remember you go, what's the tone of the group? So, I mean, that's a weird thing to say. But then we became friends, and I was doing a show at that time, and I was paying money to get it produced, and
which I was like, are you shitting me?
Yeah.
I could be charging Jeremiah for this?
I should charge you for my talents.
Yeah.
I've had offers.
So,
I feel like the Andy Richter today.
You extended an invite for me to come on the show, and I'm thinking, how much money is that going to cost me? You're like, well, we'll take care of it. Obviously, you've got to get some equipment and things like that, yeah. But I was kind of blown away by that. And
feel like a professional all of a sudden.
Yeah, I did. I felt really fancy. So I do Gingerarchy, and I am an anarcho-capitalist, and but I'm the kind that people like, right? Yeah. Like Cody. Yeah. So I have a big passion for liberty. I mostly talk to anarchists, but I've been reaching out. You know, obviously, if anybody's a libertarian, I'm big into voluntary action. And I've just started reaching out to people that really don't have any libertarian chops or anything like that. But do really amazing things in the world through voluntary action, because I think that's a lot more important than just saying you're an anarchist and talking about anarchy.
Yeah.
There's plenty of podcasts that do that. So I want to stand out, and I want to have fun too. I like to have fun and laugh.
I think we found some more since we last had you on, but there are not very many female-led, female-only libertarian podcasts. And one of the things that has always been important for me here at We Are Libertarians is to give women a platform and not treat them creepily.
Yes.
I mostly succeed. Yeah. I mostly succeed.
That is a
I did just grab $300 out of Christie's boobs, but
that's still a problem in the anarchist movement. I think there's so few women.
She was asking for that.
Yeah, I have to tell you,
that was definitely a voluntary.
I didn't hear anything you. I didn't hear anything you guys said. Like for 20 minutes, I stared at Christie's boobs because they had $350 sticking out.
We're getting Pizza King tonight, baby. This $350 is buying the gang at least four pizzas.
Spangle was Pizza King in Henry County is more expensive than a good steak dinner. But Spangle's going to be late to the pool party, guys, because he's going to spend an hour and a half dining at Pizza King. There's no doubt that he's not coming straight there.
I was going to be late for some reason. Why not that?
Yeah. Oh, no, you were a good hour late to this, too.
Easily, yeah.
Remzo will tell you.
I would blame the toddler, but the toddler is me. So, Trisha, you've just been a fun addition to the crew, and finish your thought, because the white male interrupted
your flow. Yeah, I was going to say, I was just going to talk about female power and living in a male-dominated society. Actually, I really wasn't. But the anarchist movement is really can be really tough for women, because there just happens to be a lot of, like, they get polarized easily, and people have such a an idea that women are just natural feminists, and so, you know, obviously they're not anarchists, which is bogus in my eyes. So you gave me the opportunity to be on a libertarian network, which I do consider myself a libertarian anarchist, just the farthest end of the spectrum. And I found that people treated me with respect, and they were nice, and they were people I could meet in person and enjoy. And so being on this network has given me so much more hope in being a woman in the movement. And then I found more women in the movement as well. And just regular folks, you know. So that's, being an anarchist sounds scary, and I'm never going to give up that label. But I certainly like talking to the people of Wall and the people I come across through it a lot more than I used to. And I've gotten out of those dark corners and just been able to spread my wings, and I can't wait to do some more.
Yeah. So. And we have a running group chat. You're one of, you know,
only
you're one
of the running group chat.
Yeah, there's many, like 17.
I know. I have one for advertising, one for, like, that was meant to be like, I know I'm not going to get Brian Nichols to pay attention to this. Remzo's busy, so let's have this quick hit. Now it's profligated to several meme accounts. You are a meme queen, too, by the way.
Yes, I am. Yeah. That's actually how I began my descent into liberty. I mean, I was a really hardcore neocon. I was very politically active. In the Republican Party for years, my whole family was. I
got
was a delegate.
On the memes.
And I did, which also changed my mind about certain things. So I started to read into it. But honestly, it was something, it just something clicked. And I thought, wow, I used to believe that, but this meme makes sense. And then started reading Lenore Eskenazi, and then just started rethinking things, and obviously went down the path to anarchy. So,
and ended up on a podcast.
Yes, and ended up on a podcast.
This is what can happen to
in
you
my too. Basement.
At least you own your own basement.
Yeah.
Well, tell people where they can find your show.
We Are Libertarians.
Thank you.
You can also find it at gingerarchypodcast.com.
Don't go to gingerarchy.com.
Don't go to gingerarchy.com. Some girl got that before me, and she's doing all right.
Yeah. It's something.
Does that one also have a monthly subscription?
Yeah, right. Well, thank you so much, Trisha. You know, we have a lot of fun, and we talk a lot of about politics, but it's not just politics. You know, Trisha just mentioned culture. But easily the weirdest show on the network is Remzo's On the Run.
Remzo, are you going to need $100 for taxi money after the incident that happened?
I won't say no.
What is this, my board? Quit this.
Chris just taxed me. It was a hostile work environment.
Can you boost him up? Hody.
Boost
next.
Me up ego-wise or volume-wise?
And mark the
doing
spot,
the best we can.
Please.
So tell us about On the Run. What was it meant to be, and what is it now?
It was meant to be a travel show, and now it's the world's worst travel show. Because the whole thing came out in March, and I remember talking to you, and I'm like, this is going to be so awesome. I'm going to go to fantastic places. We're going to do vlogs. We're going to meet amazing people. And then, you know, China was just like, that ain't happening. And 2020 happened,
Wuhan
so I had
flu,
to go ahead.
Wuhan flu.
Yeah, the Wu flu jumped in. Yeah. And
holy
it just
shit,
everything.
Look at this. Chris Galt just walked in.
Is that your brother?
I know, yeah. This is my mini-me. for better or worse. Yes, Dale's dressed like Peaky Blinders over here. So we'll have him take care of him. But yeah, so you started a travel show in February of 2020.
Great timing, right?
So awesome timing.
How did you pick?
Are you good at traveling? Because I heard you had an incident at the airport.
You know, we can get into a lot of things. we can, you know, start at the beginning of the weirdness. But yeah, I mean, it was gonna be a travel show. I had done a show in college that was making me a little bit of money because I really didn't want to go work at Baskin Robbins with my friends. And I was like, you know, this might work out. And after a few years, you know, it was another libertarian talking to libertarians about libertarianism, you know, yeah. Real sexy. And I'm just like, this is depressing as fuck at one point.
Yeah.
So can I curse here?
Yeah. Oh yeah,
they're children. Well, I assume they heard worse.
Blew Harry at a bus station. Oh.
That's why we got to speed this up. He promised to meet me out back. But yeah, I mean, it was going to.
We
be
We do
that.
Have our own private semi-private alley back there.
Oh wow, this is getting kind of skeevy. But yeah, I mean, I had done a television series in the third season of The Witching Hour, and you know, the final episodes in a couple of weeks, and that's the series finale. So I'd already been traveling. I'd already been doing a lot in that. Arena. I was on 25 different public access networks. We've won a ton of awards for, you know, indie documentaries and stuff like that. So I thought, you know, I want to get back into podcasting. I thought that was just the natural thing.
Yeah.
So COVID happens and I'm like, well, shit, there goes that plan. So it went from actually having to travel to traveling around life, which is great for marketing. It just meant that I was broken. Nothing was open. So at that point, I really had to assess it. It's like, I had this giant plan. And nothing's working out.
Right.
So I could go back to what I did do and be miserable, or I could produce a show that I actually wanted to do.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you don't do this if you don't love it.
Yeah.
And you see a lot of really talented people who show a lot of potential, and they start with a podcast, and then they see how much work is involved, and then they see how much time you have to dedicate towards it, and then they realize, I don't really love this.
Yeah.
And, you know, as soon as COVID really came around and people are working from home and every, you know, there's no TV and everything else. And the year about Marvel movie, that hit me really hard, Chris. But, you know, it got
depressed for a month.
More than a month. I'm going to go see Black Widow in there 3 times. But anyway, you know, it got to the point where it's like, you know, everyone out there, they're doing a show that they really like. You know, people are talking politics. People are talking current events. I could jump into this libertarian space offering my unique insights on what other people are talking about. But at the end of the day, it's like I'm not adding value.
Right.
So I might as well actually ask the bigger questions. What actually makes us free?
Yeah.
Because, you know, my second book, How to Succeed in Politics and Other Forms of Devil Worship, available on Amazon. You know, it's really a fictionalized version of the last couple of years of my time as a political consultant. And, you know, when you're living in your Kia Soul eating Sheetz hot dogs, I don't think they have that in the Midwest. No Sheetz? Is that you begin to realize that
there's something called a ballpark hot dog.
That sounds satanic. But anyway, so, you know, it got to the point where it's like, you know, I could keep doing this and I'm miserable and I'm not actually making the world better, or I can try and make myself better. I can actually try and, you know, meet other people who are achieving actual liberty in their life. And, you know, the show, I've called it the world's worst travel show. It's also not a financial podcast.
Yeah.
It's about my journey of trying to achieve financial independence and early retirement by the time I'm 38.
Right.
It's about me actually trying to rediscover new things that can actually bring joy to people's life. You know, one of my favorite guests was Jeff Bradford, who hosts one of the largest, you know, food industry YouTube shows on YouTube. And it's called Beer, Wine, and Spirits. Talk about grabbing a great name.
That's funny. Yeah.
And like myself, he was in the military. He got out after retiring after 20 years, sold all his stuff, bought a camera, and traveled around Europe and East Asia learning how different cultures created beer, wine, and spirits.
Yeah.
And he loves it, and he's turning that into a whole network.
Well, that's the cool thing about podcasting. You just had an episode about it replacing blogging, is that it's so flexible. It's so broad. You can do whatever you want, build a community out of anything, and it's just a fun medium.
Yeah. And I mean, it's one of the few opportunities where what I love is, you know, I never did monologues before this. And now, like, every other week is a monologue, but really getting to sit down. What I realized I missed about podcasting in the year and a half I wasn't doing anything was the fact that it's one of the few situations that you will find these days where you could be with somebody, whether it's in person or online, where you're actually going to put your cell phone down and you're just going to give each other your undivided attention.
Yeah.
And in 2020, when depression is hitting all new highs, when the suicide numbers, we're probably never going to know what those look like for right. years to come, because neither Trump or Biden want to take credit for that.
Right, right.
You know, you really begin to realize that, you know, people want to feel like they're connected to something, and they realize that outside politics, outside the pains of everyday life, there's still joy out there.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, of course, everyone wants the happy ending, but I also think the journey matters.
Yeah.
And it's that changes you. It changed my life. It's still changing my life. And, you know, I tell people, I don't need millions of people knowing me. I just need a few dedicated people that actually want to make a real impact, and that's how I'm going to change the world.
Yeah, and one of those people is Trisha, who loves your podcast. She every single week, she's like, did you listen to Rimzo yet?
You know what? It's a funny show, and it's not like just libertarian. You know what I mean? It's an entertaining show. Yeah. So that's you should listen. It's something different. It's not the same stuff you'll hear.
I'll give you your 50 after this.
Okay. Thanks, Rimzo.
Yeah, I mean, and we talk about aliens too, by the way.
Yeah.
And I didn't believe in aliens until Remzo's like, Brian, did you check out these aliens? And I was like, no. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, holy shit.
You want to believe.
Aliens. So yeah, thank you, Remzo. Yeah.
Also, you should Google Fox News, I believe. It was Fox News or Fox Business. Aliens, Remzo Martinez.
Yeah, that's
just
a whole
put
other
that into
thing.
Your.
Well, where can people hear your show?
The internet.
The internet.
WeareLibertarians.com.
Yeah, no, Rimzo is easily, you know, works as hard as Brian on not just this, but multiple projects. You know, like you, I think I told Trisha that if I get hit by a bus, I want you to have the keys, that's not horrifying. Jeremiah.
That's horrifying.
You do a great job. You just got hired. I don't know if you want to say where, but you're already seeing great returns. You're just an all-star, an author, a podcaster, a writer, and marketer. Like,
we haven't even gotten into my potential salsa dancing.
Well, that's later at the pool party.
That's later at the pool party. But I mean, Chris, I mean, really, I didn't want to come back unless I was actually going to do the things and actually live the life I was trying to tell people to do. And really, yeah. Like right now, podcasting, consulting, all that type of stuff, it's a fourth of my total income.
Yeah.
Like, I'm living in my own place now. I've fulfilled the libertarian destiny of moving out of my mother's basement.
Nice.
So
very good.
I'd like to think. I know. Clap
congratulations.
For that,
yes.
Clap for that. I take donations.
Virginity
after this.
Is next.
But yeah, I mean, I host
well,
and produce
the
show.
Pool party is coming. So.
Yes.
Could
my
be
poor
a very
fiance.
Big day.
You know, I produce and host. You know, four shows. I mean, one of them, if I could just pitch real fast, it's a show sure. done by my former editor from the American Conservative, Kelly Vallejos. Her, Daniel Larris, and Barbara Boland are some of the best, if not the best, defense and national security war coverage reporters in the country. And they were people yeah. I looked up to. I was Kelly's intern. And when they all left the American Conservative, they had been doing a podcast there and they wanted to keep it going. And they said, Remso, we want you to produce it.
Yeah.
And I don't host it. But like, my God, to have three of the smartest people in this sector talking about an issue that I think often goes ignored, being anti-war.
Yeah.
You know, as being a veteran myself, it's like this is one of those moments where it's like everything is allowing me to put a little bit of effort into that. And that's going to actually change hearts and minds.
Right.
Whereas George Bush would say hearts and minds. But,
minds.
You know, minds. But yeah.
Well, Remzo, thank you so much. You're just an all-star, and we love you having you on the network. And you're always generous and thoughtful and the sweetest boy. And we just love you so much.
I appreciate it. Thank you all.
Let's get all the enemy of my enemy folks on here. But Hody is up next. And Hody, you are... Of all of the patrons, Christy loves me, but I think you love me. I have never had my ass kissed better
Hody
than when
pushed
Hody
three people out of the way when you came through the door.
He literally he did.
Yeah,
he's what did he say about the mountain? What was the mountain thing that you said? It was hilarious.
Oh, absolutely. So yeah, they said, well, who's on the Mount Rushmore? Who's on the Mount Rushmore of Liberty? And you can name four people, but the mountain is all carved from Chris Spangle. That's the mountain.
That's is that not the best ass kiss you've ever heard in your entire life? So, Hody, we met just you started emailing me and we started talking. And Hody is one of the friendliest people, one of the nicest people, and one of those guys that like you wish everybody in politics would be like Hody. But unfortunately, they're not.
Hody, how did you find Chris?
Oh, so I was a big fan of the network in general. I went around, I had listened to the usuals, Jason Stapleton, Tom Woods, a lot of those big names. And I found that a lot of them were kind of avoiding culture or avoiding talk about people's personal lives. And libertarians aren't just libertarianism. They're also people that have jobs and graduate and they're going to school or they're deployed overseas or they're working out or they're not working out or there's just so many different type of people that we're all libertarianism is about living your life in this under this philosophy. But with so many different lifestyles, why limit it to only philosophy? And we talked about it when I loved the show when Billy Graham passed away. It was one of the first ones when I emailed you on when we first came into contact because that affected me as well. You were going through a divorce. I was much the same, life in shambles, you know, picking it up, never thought you'd be in this situation. I said, how neat is it to have a network where people talk about this kind of thing? And you, I joined the Patreon, and shortly after that, I think you guys hired a research team or asked people to volunteer team.
Yeah.
And I think that was within a month of me kind of joining on. I was like, oh, yeah, I'll do some research. I'm a much better writer than a speaker. Everybody who listens to my podcast knows that.
Yeah. And then Harry pitched Wall Daily, and you really carried the ball on that. But Sarah Brady Wagner will be here tonight. She's not here right now.
I did some shows with her. Paul Copeland.
Yep.
Did some with my man Reinhold over there.
We're going to rename him.
Reinhold over there. And everybody that I know brings different perspectives to the table. And what is individualism if we don't care about individuals and where they come from?
Yeah.
And just the perspectives they bring. One thing that I learned from my speech and debate days was you never deny someone their personal experience, what they've gone through, what they know to be true by living life and what is true. And so the more people that I meet on this network, the more they value that actual individualism that says this is where you come from. And so when I put together Enemy of My Enemy, it was under it was by popular demand. It was by a Facebook request. Yeah,
people like pissed off that you had stopped doing podcasts.
Right. And that was to settle. I got a new job and finally that all kind of settled in and everything. And I was like, well, you know, I might get back into it. And yeah, the Facebook groups just being like, I really want left, right, and center libertarian perspectives. We need to make this happen. And I said, oh man, I really love studying, you know, left, right, and center liberty as well, and talk about the areas where we unify and love having the debates when we disagree.
So introduce your cast. Who did you bring with you?
So I brought on Chris Galt and Aaron V.
Galt, get in here.
And Chris Galt was immediately very excited and much anarcho-capitalist, just like me. I'm a little lefter on the social issues, which made it perfect because then he brought on one of his best friends, Aaron V. Aaron V, like a true leftist, owns nothing. And so would always have to record his episode, his part of the episodes at Chris Galt's place,
on
borrowing his computer, borrowing his house, borrowing his electricity.
Computer,
I mean, it. Yeah.
Thanks for that one, Brian.
That's hilarious, actually.
So we record two episodes.
It's common property. Everybody knows that.
And I got to say, fantastic episodes because these two, much like perfect right and left libertarians, hated each other's guts. And every episode.
Literally 2 months ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No. Literally like 2-3 months ago, Galt's like, I'm at a bar. What are you doing there? This guy on the internet said he wanted to fist fight, so I showed up to fight him. Now we're hanging out.
Yeah. I mean, we had a political disagreement, and in person, we worked it out.
Galt is like quintessential We Are Libertarians because he is opinionated, kind of a shit poster. But at the end of the day, you really do like him, and like I just can't fire him.
Fire him every day.
I told Hody, I was like, I literally removed him from the group 2 days ago. But I told Hody, I was like, listen, do it with Galt, but no, you're gonna have to fire him.
I didn't warn him that up front.
Yeah.
Oh, I
didn't even.
Awesome.
I didn't even know it would be 2 episodes. Yeah. But
Paul was listening to episode 3 and was like, "Oh, it happened already." he's gone. Okay. Yeah. No. But Galt was fantastic, and those two got into a disagreement. It was great because Galt was like, "I can't do it with this guy anymore. He takes everything I say personally. Like a true leftist, cries every time we have a disagreement." He was a perfect leftist. I mean, it's a shame to lose Aaron V because he absolutely represented left libertarianism perfectly. You know, like everything was offensive and cry. And I love the guy. I mean, he was just it was perfect. And then, of course, that fight happened. They're like, well, you know, I lose Galt. Well, whose internet was Aaron V borrowing? Right. So I lost both my podcast hosts in one fell swoop.
It was the show or my friendship. So
yeah, so,
it always is. That's funny.
So, and so it was great because when you do a show that shows how left, right, and center libertarians get along when you lose both your co-hosts because they don't get along, it was perfect hypocrisy on my part.
I call all of mine ho-coasts.
Ho-coasts.
That's why he goes through so many of them.
That's offensive. No, I'm just kidding.
So I put out some feelers and I was like, guys, I got to rebrand. I need two. I need some left and right libertarians, and we might have to replace them every week. And and I'm ready for that.
Churn.
Line them up. Let's go. Because I don't want to stop doing this show.
I'm good at getting it started and preparing people for what it takes to really do this.
Yeah. To set people up for real success.
Two episodes. Have me on your show. I'll start it with you. You want to start a new show? Let's do it. Two episodes. Then I'll quit, and you'll have a great career.
So you're like the pilot guy.
Yeah.
That when you get into like... Episode two.
Yeah,
it's like,
you know what?
Dad's
you're right.
A different guy.
He's the Harvey Weinstein of this podcast.
Ooh, ouch.
Mr. Development Deals over here.
I'm still a little sore about that in more ways than one.
So tell us who's on your show now.
So what we got now is I do have some in case we need a replacement for a week, but my main two who I got to choose, and I'm so delighted that they showed up. On my left liberty side, I have Lou. Lauren Grindstaff McKinnon, and she's fantastic. We know each other from the Larry Sharp campaign.
We do. I used to be your boss, and now you're mine.
My boss.
Weird.
And when neither of us are making money, I don't know if anybody's the boss of anybody.
Not really.
but she's been fantastic. She actually had a journey. Me, I went anarcho-capitalist and then swung to center. You know, I kind of was the right wing and swung to center. She just kept swinging all the way to the left.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
no,
so she went to the right-left journey. Yeah, and then I've got Brian Wolgemuth, who I believe was with me on the research team.
Yeah. So that's how you say your last name.
What, Wolgemuth? How hard is it? Come on.
Wagglemouth?
Trisha's in the corner just dying, going, oh, we had no idea.
She's been wondering, too.
I've been
too,
on the show with him for how many weeks? And that's the first time I've heard it. Thank you. I wasn't going to say anything.
I don't get it. Well, it's a German name, so we can't say that on the program.
Right, yeah.
My name is English. We're going to have to censor that. Spangles like I've got this deep German heritage.
You just have that German look to you, like you had a lot of brats.
Look, I look superior to you. That's all you're
saying. You know, my maiden name.
I don't look like every carbon copy Chris on the streets of Indianapolis.
Yeah. Every Cylon.
Grindstaff is what?
Grindstaff. I think it came from like Kronstaff or something. Right. You have to really like when you do it.
She's the most
German. My dad's
here,
by the way, and he's giving me a look like, probably. I don't know.
As you might guess, not a lot of Jewish representation.
Does your dad have pot leaves on his shirt?
No, but it is a Hawaiian-ish shirt.
Oh, okay. Right.
And I was like, yeah, you should definitely.
He was told he was bringing her to a pool party, and we're still in the podcast.
No, I brought my dad because, you know, media being media. Like, I'm a newspaper brat.
Yeah.
So my dad's been in media forever and ever and ever. So it's in my blood. And
awesome.
So I can't shake it.
That's good. That's cool, though.
So I wanted my dad.
So when do you plan on quitting Hody's podcast?
Right. When are you going to fight Brian?
You know what?
I've got $300 if we can make this happen right now.
So enemy of my enemy is my retirement. And some of you know, some of you don't.
You're going to be in Galt's house using his electricity.
Right? No, it is. It's totally my retirement gig because I've done communications director, press secretary, campaign management for campaigns, big and small, for several years, and I'm tired.
But
I was always, the one behind the curtain, and I was writing the press releases and stuff like that. But people never really heard my voice. Like
I heard Larry Sharp speak your words.
Yes, yeah, so every day he's still doing it, and I love it. Woo! That's what. And I was very much behind the scenes, and it was a lot of my words. And so now I've kind of retired from like the professional politics side of things, and I'm a full-time tattoo artist, and I freaking love it. I can color on people all day long, do what I want, and then I come on the show and I can just like bitch about politics. It's fantastic. Like, now I don't have to be so professional.
Yeah,
I'd be like, this is bullshit, you know. I didn't do that for a long time as a communications director. We have to like be prim and proper, and you know, we're minding our P's and Q's and things like that. So now I can finally be like, these are a bunch of idiots. No, I'm kidding. No, I enjoy it. So this is kind of a vacation for me in a lot of ways, and I actually get to express my opinions instead of molding other people's opinions in a way that is palatable.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice to
be
able
raw
to do
and unfiltered
that
in a way that, like, I'm going to say what I want, and you take it however you want, and So, Brian, tell us a little bit about yourself.
No, I'm kind of like that tech geek that just got invited in by Hody, and I'm still wondering why I'm standing here. Yeah. No, I was brought in because I was a fan of the program for a long time. And, you know, the program changed and I still listened. But then Hody came in one day and said, hey, do you want to do some research with this? And I'm like, sure, I've got plenty of time. Just sit around. But I actually enjoy doing that stuff. But I also end up my show notes end up being like show encyclopedias.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So it's always a problem with that. But then Hody came up with this with the program and invited me to go on. And it was kind of fun because the thing is this, the one thing I think we always end up with the program is that it ends up not being enemy of my enemy.
Right. It's, we agree on, we end up coming to an agreement pretty easily. And there's like, I feel like we need to step it up, guys.
I know. What ends up happening is we usually fight Hody at the end.
Right.
We usually.
The center libertarian gets it from both sides.
Right. Exactly.
Customary. You're like it's a tag team type of, you know. Beat up on.
Yeah.
We are, I
would love that.
We are,
love that.
We're getting notifications from the pool party that all the significant others are unhappy with.
They're having a great time without us.
Yeah. You're having a great time without them.
That's right.
I don't know. Maybe not because I've been watching you fight with your microphone for a while and I'm like, he's going to need a Viagra for that thing.
You guys really have got to
just tease
this.
It a little.
Right. It's
ridiculous.
That's Dakota's. Listen, that's Dakota's space.
It's
mine is fine. It's very rigid, it's erect, and it's where it belongs.
This is the kind of quality...
I can't explain the issues with Dakota's limp microphone.
It doesn't work. It's the kind of quality I would expect from Newcastle. So,
ooh!
Find it at WeAreLibertarians.com. I'm going to rush you off, Hody, but I love you.
Perfect.
Thank you so much.
You
We're going to bring on Julia. So, you know, when I was the executive director of the Libertarian Party of Indiana, I found that there were two problems that people needed solving. That kind of kept them from getting involved. One was not knowing the brass tacks of kind of what Brian talks about with the sales and how do I do politics? How do I do political science? And the other was that they revered the libertarian philosophy, but they did not want to disappoint other libertarians, and so they needed kind of an understanding. So started the Libertarian 101 classes, only did a couple, but... You know, I got contacted by Julia Geyer. I can't hear you at all.
Oh,
You're fine. Just talk to her.
You have to talk louder.
I was too far away.
Yeah.
You gotta want it.
Okay.
And you were like, "Is there anything that I can share with my friends that's not crazy?" And I went,
"Yeah,
no."
Yeah, so. I texted. Actually, I DM'd you on Instagram.
Yeah,
because I found your Instagram. And I was like, wow, I really like this account. I like all the stuff that I was seeing. And I was just like, do you have anything like really dumbed down, like super, super basic for like someone that's only ever heard of like Republican or Democrat? And you were like, no.
There's not much out
like,
there.
All right. And then I was like, let's make some memes. And then you were like, let's do a show. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. Typical me. I'm like, we can't stop there and make this easy.
Yeah.
We've got to start something.
Yeah.
And so I spent last year building a website, putting together, you know, all kinds of different things, libertyexplained.com. And we've had let's just say we did season one and we're about to do season two.
Yeah.
We'll say this is seasonal.
That was good.
It wasn't my fault at all that we stopped.
No, it was just
seasonal.
Yeah, it's fine.
But the main goal is basically people wrote in a bunch of questions. We have a ton of questions.
Yeah.
We've got 20, 30 more episodes already planned out.
Yeah.
You and I are just going
to get some. We have so much to do.
Yeah, and it's basically answering your basic questions. And so if you haven't listened to Liberty Explained, Levy Rainey was on the show, but she got married and priorities changed.
Yeah, we lost Levy.
You can't do a libertarian podcast if you're married, apparently. So let's hope my marriage goes well.
Check local listings. Some of us have survived a few years.
Well, that's the thing. Stick around. I mean, you got married because of the podcast. You met your wife at a live event.
The Boss Hog Show has survived my engagement, Dakota's wedding, and mine. And there's a chance we'll marry some other ones off at some point.
I met Reagan through the podcast. Aaron and Hannah met each other through the podcast. We're responsible for probably 4 marriages and 2 divorces.
Wow.
I mean, it's a 2-to-1 ratio. That's better than the average.
You can literally go and listen to me getting divorced on this show. That's, and I'm not kidding.
Listen to you getting left.
So Greg, Gina, and I are doing a show February. It's the last episode posted late in February of 2014 on the private feed for the full feed. And we're talking, and I'm talking, and I'm talking, and my wife starts taking her things and is leaving in the middle of the podcast.
This is the risk of having a podcast studio in your home.
And I go silent, and then afterwards she tells Gina and Greg that she's divorcing me, and I didn't see her for 2 more weeks. Oh. And then, well, we won't say who the other person that got divorced because of the show is, but let's just say we made the filings and we were in the decree.
Oh, my God.
So, Julia, welcome to the team, man.
Thanks.
You're either going to get married, divorced. God only knows what will happen to
Maybe
you.
Maybe both.
Yeah.
Oh, my
so,
God.
No, I mean, I was really surprised that you came, and I'm so glad that you came and could meet everybody. Yeah,
I'm so happy to.
So, you, more than anybody I know, was affected by the pandemic and the lockdowns.
Yeah, so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I live in New Jersey. I lived in Manhattan for 10 years, moved to New Jersey like 2 years prior to lockdown. And we got locked down so bad. It was really like, it was like a Walking Dead episode. Like there's no one around, there's no one out, no one's driving. Like it was a real lockdown. And
meanwhile, Remzo comes to Noblesville last year and he's like, what the fuck is going on? There's like here in Newcastle, they didn't even sell masks here, did they?
I heard it was like nothing.
I mean, listen, it got serious when Walmart said we had to start wearing masks. That's when we're like, oh shit, guys, this is starting to get real.
Yeah.
When Rural King and Walmart said we had to have masks, it was.
But like when I talked to.
It was a rough 3 weeks.
Brian Nichols from Philly.
Oh my God.
Like, what? You can't go to the gym yet? I've been going to the gym since.
I had to buy a treadmill. I was like isolated for months. It was horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I had to shut down my business. I had a startup like 4 months prior that I launched. A transportation startup. I had to shut that down, and then I lost all my normal income, and then like I got kicked out of my condo because it sold, and I was just like, what in the hell is happening to my life? It really sort of broke down I guess everything I had worked toward for so long. But I guess I can start to say now at this point it's been a blessing, because I think it really re-centered me and like reprioritized me in what I want to do in my life.
Yeah.
Big time. Like if that didn't happen, I would have been on a different path.
Yeah.
A really different path.
And you like the path that you're on.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel good about it. It's good.
Which is basically just surfing Bitcoin blogs, as I understand it.
Yeah, for now. Yeah.
Julie is probably more nerdy about crypto than Galt or anyone else that I know.
Yeah. I'm really in it.
Like how deep?
Like, I don't even know anyone I can have a real conversation with about it, because most people don't understand it as much as I do.
Well, Jesse, Harry, and Chris are here.
Yeah.
That would be wonderful.
Harry, Jesse, and Gold.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So nice. We'll set you up. You guys can start talking crypto. But okay, yeah, I mean, you've been a welcome addition, and we're so glad that you're here.
Thanks,
and
Chris.
To get to know you a little bit more. And
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, hopefully you make some friends. And
once again, you're just as insane as everybody else for coming to Henry County, Indiana. But welcome.
You drove from where?
From New Jersey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you staying in New Jersey or are you going somewhere else?
No. You mean to live?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I'm not going to stay there. I don't know where I'm going.
Okay.
I got to go somewhere. I might go to Florida, but I'm going to float a little
Have
longer.
You considered Newcastle?
No, I haven't.
Jer?
Hey, listen, we'll make the pitch later. Just remember, most of the houses you see are $100,000 to $150,000, and you think, oh, this would work.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
7,000 square feet for $150,000.
Not 7,000.
I'm trying.
It's very reasonable.
So beautiful.
I'm trying
too.
To get Nichols.
I was like driving around today. It's like I love it. Like all the cornfields and like just beautiful.
This is a good time of the year to come. Between April and October, it's really nice. And then it's just like, I'm sure New Jersey is just as terrible in the wintertime.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have four seasons.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I'm trying to get Nichols to move here. We almost got Remzo, but then he got a job in Wisconsin. Yeah. So we're just trying, you know, if we let's.
You're we'll recruiting.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, we're going to make this the real free state.
Boy, we're going to put the real sales pitch on in a little bit.
Well, thank you, Julia. Right. Appreciate it. Yeah, and last but not least,
Dale has decided he deserves a spot on the
Dale has no show, and everybody. What are you doing, you
Dale? Said, are you pitching
my,
a show?
He said my turn would come.
Yeah. Dale. Now Dale is. Dakota apparently talks to Dale daily.
Every day.
You and Dakota talk all the time, don't
you? Yes. You had dinner last night at Block and Brew.
Yes, very good. You tremendous ribeye.
You came into town early. You visited from Iowa.
Yes.
You visited my barber and scared the hell out of my friends.
I owe you a public apology for that.
Well,
very good.
Many people do.
You're from Iowa. You drove in from Iowa.
Yes.
And you do what for a living?
I'm a house painter. Interior, exterior, decks, drywall repair. I do not hang drywall, just to be clear about that. And own my own company. I'm the only employee at this point, but it's been really great this year working on a farmhouse out in Cambridge, Iowa, and yeah, that's what's going on with me right now.
Yeah, and Dale, you hosted a couple podcast Wall Daily episodes.
I had the Wall Daily with Hody. He and I would go between libertarian stuff and some self-improvement stuff, and I had my own little thing on the side called Simplistic Advice, tongue-in-cheek joke, because when people tell you, you know, somebody comes and tell you your problem, you often have the person being told is often a little more objective and they can cut through the bullshit. And I've been told many times, your advice is so simplistic, it's so complicated. It's usually just emotional nonsense getting in the way.
Is that still going?
No, I'm not doing that. I would have pitched it to you, but Remzo kind of stole my spot with his self-improvement aspect, mini Jason Stapleton. So yeah, but I kind of serve as the, what I was going to say is I kind of serve as the group's fixer and multi-purpose criminal element. I do the stuff that Spangle can't get his hands dirty with. No, I'm just
big fan. You probably got a little excited when you saw this banner on the wall. You're big Game of Thrones fan.
Yes. Yes. Go House Stark.
Names everybody House of Geyer, like, you know. Yep. So, Dale, plug your business if you're in Iowa.
I'm in Iowa, melchinpainting.com. Everything, all the contact information is up there. I'm not going to put my phone number on the internet, but you can find it on the website. There's a contact form you can fill out if you want me to come paint your house in Iowa. That's as far as I'll go at this point, unless it's,
Who's coming for you? Why are you so scared?
What's that?
He's saying he's not going to go paint a house in Kansas unless you offer incredible money.
Right, that's exactly. Or in Indiana.
All
right,
yeah.
No,
well,
no,
Dale ended up staying in the group, and what I love about having Dale in the group is that when everyone's too online, Dale's like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? I'm a normal person. Like, please talk to me instead of some Politico journalist.
Preach!
On Twitter.
250 messages? What the hell are you guys doing?
Right. Yeah. So Dale's our normie in the group.
No. But Dale once messaged me on Instagram and he was like, I listen to your show. You sound like you need some sleep.
Dale, you'll send random messages to everybody. Like Trisha in the beginning was like, this fucking Dale guy's messaging me. I was like, he's fine.
You know who else will do that?
Who?
Niece.
Niece, yeah.
Niece will message you at 3 in the morning about whatever he's doing. Yes. Just to check in. Dale, you're getting typecast. That's what we're trying to tell you.
Okay.
Okay. Well, we give Galt, come sit down.
Get over here.
Just really briefly, because we've all got to go to the pool party. We're all getting in trouble.
To be brief. I did it on Boss Hog of Liberty. It was my first time on the show. 11-minute episode.
Wow.
Boss Hog of Liberty record, people. No one will ever beat that.
What was your trick? What did you do to get ready for the show?
I barely talked. Oh, what did I do to get ready for the show?
You know, like,
well, I barely talked because
Joey Chestnut eats hot dogs.
I was at the track.
Yeah, you're at the track doing what?
Oh, everything.
4 times the advisable limit of edibles.
Well, most people are on 4 times the advisable amount of alcohol.
Galt's lost 100 pounds and he doesn't know how to dose himself anymore.
Right. And so somebody put this chart in there about what is an acceptable amount of marijuana to intake. And Galt goes, whoa, I did 4 times that on the Boss Hog. I was like, okay, Tanner.
I got Galt on.
That was Bill Levin that posted that too. He's very experienced.
And Bill's like the highest person of all time.
Galt just had a pace car ride at the Mid-Ohio Raceway. Greatest day of his life. He's so excited. I thought, well, we're going to fill all kinds of time. He's great. How was the car ride?
What?
Yeah, it went fast.
It was like
that lady could drive.
It was like a blur.
Yeah, she was great. He asked me who I thought was going to win, and I just was like, and he was like, come on, we ain't got long.
All right, Galt, we love you. Yeah. When we sat down March 8th, 2012, really March 1st, but I didn't record that episode on accident. But March 8th, did you ever expect that we would turn We Are Libertarians into what it's turned into?
No, and it's wonderful. All right, I love all of you people.
Now he's going to fire you.
No, I love Galt. Galt's
he's fired me so many times, and I'm still in the group. I love it.
It's like killing Kenny.
There's nothing I can do.
I'm like the Republican Party. I'm like the Republican Party. You can do whatever you want. We're not going to say anything to you.
Do anything wrong.
Yeah.
So about that fluoride, that stuff you guys...
Get the fuck off. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. Thank you to all the co-hosts that flew in. Thank you to all the listeners. And thank you to all of our patrons. And we just love you, appreciate you, and keep spreading the word. Keep helping us grow. And we will see you again next week.